أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن نعمره ننكسه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون. وما علمناه الشعر وما ينبغي له إن هو إلا ذكر وقرآن مبين. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, the last verse which we discussed in last night's lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us of our reality. Allah says, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ, that the person, and this person we give him a prolonged life. نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, you will find that gradually he progresses in terms of his creation, in terms of his physical self, his physical body, in terms of his spiritual self, in terms of his emotional self, in terms of his intellect and so forth. There's a gradual progression until he reaches his point of fruition. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, and then gradually again, it's a gradual retrogression, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we turn him upside down, and you find that again, stage by stage, step by step, he loses control over his different faculties and abilities, until once again you find the person behaving like a child. With that ayah, we concluded section number 5 of Surah Yasin. So Surah Yasin has 5 main sections. Let us review those sections. Number 1, section number 1. What was section number 1 about? Divine revelation. Right? Section number 2, a lesson from history. Section number 3, to ponder over the world before us and the creation. Section number 4, the shortest section, that no matter what, there will always be those in the ummah and the community who will never accept whatever evidence is presented before them. Section number 5, qiyamah, the life after death and the year after. And in this evening's lesson, we commence section number 6. Now, section number 6, we can refer to it as the conclusion. We can refer to it as the conclusion. And in this section, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will review the previous 5 sections. It's so beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he set out these 5 sections, and in the conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions certain verses and certain ayat that will force us to think of the previous 5 sections that we have been discussing during the month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ, ayah number 69. عَلَّمْنَا, we did not teach him. Allama, allama means to teach. Allamnahu, ma allamnahu, we did not teach him. Referring to who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, we did not teach him ash-shi'r. What is ash-shi'r? Poetry. We did not teach him poetry. Wa ma yanbaghi lah, and it is not befitting of him, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn poetry. It does not befit him to learn poetry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved poetry. He would love to listen to poetry. And in fact, in his masjid, in Masjid al-Nabawi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a mimbar erected for who? Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who was Hassan ibn Thabit? He was given the title Sha'iru Rasulullah, the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved poetry. He loved listening to poetry. But he himself could not compose verses of poetry. And that was deliberate. Allah says, we we are the ones who did not teach him to compose verses and lines of poetry. مَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرُ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. And it is not appropriate for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn poetry. Why? We have blessed him with the best and the most eloquent speech, and that is the speech of the Quran. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so engrossed and so immersed in the Quran and the balagha, the rhetoric of the Quran and the sciences of the Quran and the knowledge of the Quran and imparting the Quran, that ma yanbaghi lah, he did not have the time. He did not have the time to attend to poetry, and it did not befit him to concentrate or to focus on poetry when he had something so great to pay attention towards, and that was the Quran. مَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. Now, this reminds us of what was previously mentioned. Which section? This is a review of which section? The conclusion is going to be all about testing, just to see how much attention you were paying during the month of Ramadan. Section 2? Section 2 was what? A lesson of history. Is this speaking about a lesson of history? This is telling us of which section? Section 1. Yasin wal Qur'an al-Hakim innaka lamina al-mursaleena ala siratim mustaqim tanzeel al-azizir rahim. So Allah already spoke about the Quran. Allah spoke about the beautiful nature of the Quran. There we discussed extensively what is the meaning of Hakim. Tanzeel, it is a revelation. From who? From Allah, Al-Aziz, Al-Rahim, the Mighty, the All-Merciful, the Very Merciful. So this opening verse of the sixth section is reviewing section number one of Surah Yasin. Okay, so we are revising. In huwa illa dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is not. In huwa, it is not. That is the Quran. It is not illa except a dhikr and a Quran mubeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two titles. Two titles of the Quran. One is dhikr. So previously, what title passed? Al Quran al Hakim. There we learn that the Quran is Hakim, a book full of wisdom. Here we are learning that the Quran is dhikr and the Quran is mubeen. Two more titles. What does dhikr mean? A reminder. A reminder. And what does mubeen mean? A Quran that is mubeen. Mubeen. Mubeen is that which enlightens. That which enlightens, that which clarifies. Now, when we study these two names of the Quran, or these two titles of the Quran, one is dhikr, reminding affects which limb in the body, or which part of the body does a reminder affect? The heart. A reminder affects the heart. Okay, reminding is for the heart. And enlightenment affects what? The mind, the intellect. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Quran, it is a spiritual book. It is something that enhances your spirituality, but at the same time, it is what? It is a book that will intrigue your what? Your intellect. So let's not confine the benefit of the Quran. While there are many spiritual benefits that we derive from the Quran, undoubtedly, we have experienced it in the month of Ramadan. Every night when you stand in Taraweeh behind the Imam, and there is that level of spirituality that you feel while listening to the recitation of the Quran during the day, while reciting the Quran. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is Quran mubeen. It opens your mind. It makes you think. It is a book that illuminates your mind. It enlightens your mind. So there are two aspects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned over here. So don't forget these two titles of the Quran. Dhikr, which is going to affect my heart and spirituality, and mubeen, that which is meant to enlighten my mind and that which will enhance my intellect.
لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ.
Ayah number 70. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, liyundhir. This Quran, what's the objective of this Quran? Liyundhir, so it warns. Where did Allah speak of warning? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously spoke of warning. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, correct? Section 1. Again, reviewing section 1. In section 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said over there, we have revealed to you, turn to section 1. I want you to review this with me. So that when you are reading Yasin now, I want you to spend time with Surah Yasin. Spend time with Surah Yasin. Pause for a moment. And say, you know, do this reviewing. Study the words that you have learned. When you come to dhikr, what do you remember about dhikr? What is mubeen? What is shi'r? Allamnahu, we taught him. Why did we not teach him shi'r? Ma yanbaghila, it's not appropriate for him to learn shi'r. He's engrossed with the Quran. He's busy with something far, far greater than shi'r. Something that's much, way better than poetry. That's why it's not befitting for him to learn poetry. Okay, now, I want you to point out to me, warning. Right? Here it's yundir. Yundir. If you read from the beginning, can you identify a word that's similar to yundir? Tundir. Tundir, that's ayah. Which ayah is that? That is ayah number 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim. Again, look at ayah number 5. It is a revelation from al-Aziz al-Rahim. Why did we reveal this book to you? Li tundir. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may warn a people, you may warn a community. Ya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Quran is a dhikr, a reminder. Quran al-Mubeen, it is a book that clarifies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why have we revealed it? Liyundir. There was tundir, yeah, it's yundir. So we are still reviewing section number 1 of Surah Yasin. Liyundir. So that it may warn, the Quran may warn. Warn who? Man kana hay. What does hay mean? Hay, so that it may warn the one who has life. Allahu Akbar. It may warn the one who has life. If your heart is dead, spiritually dead, wallahi, read the Quran a million times over, it will not affect your heart. But if your heart has life, hay, because it's dhikr, and dhikr affects what? The heart. It's a reminder, and that's going to affect the heart. But that heart needs to be what? Enlivened. That heart must have life in it, hayyan, so that it may warn the one who is alive. Now, what are we revising here? Let's go back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke earlier. In one of the very first lessons, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about giving life to the dead. Correct? I want you to turn to ayah number 12. Ayah number 12. Inna nahnu nuhyil mawta. Inna nahnu nuhyil mawta. Nuhyi. What does nuhyi mean? We give life. To who? Al-mawta, the dead. Here you have hay. Can you see the similarities? There it's nuhi, we give hay, we giving hayat, we giving life. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed we are the ones that give life to dead. Over there we discussed 2 points. What was it? Giving life to a person who is dead. Who is literally, physically dead. But we also said that nuhi al-mawta, that we give life to the dead, we have the power, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of reviving and giving life to the dead hearts. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revising that section where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about giving life to the dead hearts. Allah says, لِيُنذِرْ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. The Quran was revealed to give a warning and to issue a warning to the one who has life, whose heart is enlivened. وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And so that the word may be proven true against the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why have you revealed the Quran? 2 reasons. The one who has life is going to revive him. It's going to benefit him. He will consider the Quran to be a warning. Number 2, the Quran, through it, a sentence will be passed. Against who? Against the disbelievers. Because those whose hearts are dead, and who, as we discussed previously, are not willing to accept the message of the Quran, no matter what sign or evidence is presented to them, Their hearts are dead, so the Quran will act as what? As a sentence against those people. لِيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ. And so that the statement, the qawl, the sentence of Allah may come to pass against who? Against the kafirin. What does this remind us of? What are we reviewing over here? Something similar has passed. I want you to turn to the first page of Surah Yasin. Can you find a similar expression? There it's يَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ. Can you find a similar expression? لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ. Ayah number 7. What does Allah say in ayah number 7? لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ. What do we say over there? That the sentence has been passed by Allah that most of them will not accept the message of the Quran. Brothers, we are doing this. It seems like a simple exercise. But wallah, can this be the kalam, the speech of any human being? Look at the accuracy. Look at the precision. Look at how perfect. What a conclusion. The conclusion is now summing up the whole Surah to Yasin for you and I. So that now you take the main lessons and the main sections that have been discussed, the main messages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you at the end as a conclusion. How amazing, how beautiful. Can it be even more eloquent than this? Right? So, يَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and so that the word may be proven true against disbelievers. Let us move on. Allah says,
أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ.
Ayah number 71. What does ayah number 71 say? Allah says, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا. What does أَلَمْ يَرَوْا mean? Let us go through the literal translation. أَلَمْ يَرَوْا. Did they not see? أَلَمْ يَرَوْا. يَرَى means to see. Did they not see? أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ. What does خَلَقْنَا mean? That we have indeed created for them. Did they not see that indeed we have created for them? What have we created for them? Mimma amilat aydina, among things that were made directly by our hands, things that they had absolutely no say in, absolutely no intervention, human intervention in the creation of those things. There are certain things that there is some human intervention, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fine, leave those things aside. Did they not see that there are so many things we have created for them that we created directly with our own hands, meaning with our own abilities, capacity, and with our own qudrat and power? And Allah cites an example. An'aman, such as cattle. An'aman, such as cattle. Now this is reminding us of what section? What are we reviewing here? What section are we reviewing over here? Did Allah speak previously of observing creation? Observing signs of Allah? That was section number 3. Section number 3. Right? Ayah number 33. Turn to ayah number 33.
وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةِ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ.
In ayah number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them what? A sign for you, an ayah for you, that Allah exists, is what? The dead land, we give it life. So, the second channel through which we may arrive at the truth was what? Observing the creation before us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reviewing that. Allah is taking us back to that lesson. In a different way, of course. A different approach. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to study what? To study the dead land. Allah revives it through the rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the crops and plants and fruits to be grown by the dead land. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to observe the provision that He has provided us with in this world. Here again, Allah is reviewing that section. Allah says, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا. Did they not see? أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا. That we have created for them things made directly by our own hands. An'aman. What does an'am mean? An'am means cattle. Fahum laha malikun. Then they are their owners. We created it. There was no human intervention involved. for whom, and then we made them their owners. We made them the owners of those animals. We made them the owners of those cattle. وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ, and we have brought them under their control. ذَلَّلَ, ذَلَّلَ means to make something humble. We have made these cattle, we have made these animals, we have placed them under your control. In other words, we have allowed them to be humbled under you. Allah is teaching us something. That while you have, if you have an animal under your control, perfect example is at the time of Qurbani. Otherwise, we don't. Generally, we don't have animals under our control. So at the time of Qurbani, that animal, subhanallah, when you take it out from the pen and you bring it to the place of Qurbani and you are ready to slaughter it, does that animal object? Okay, maybe it objects if you've got a big bull. It's not just going to object, it might do more than just object. But the thing is that Allah has given you full control over that animal, right? So Allah has humbled that animal for you. Does that animal have a say? No, why? Because you are the owner. Allah has made you the owner of that animal. Allah is teaching you something while you are the owner of that animal and you expect that animal to be loyal and humbled before you. You have an owner, Allah. So as you expect that animal to be humbled and to be subdued and subjugated to your command and your power and your authority that you have over the animal, how can we ever question what Allah does with us? How He does with us? When He does it with us? Never can we question. Impossible. It would be absurd for that animal to object or to question. It has no right to do so. Allah says, you are the owner of that animal, I own you. فَهُمْ لَهَا فَوَذَلَّلْنَا لَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have brought them under their control. فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now expounds on some of the benefits that are found in these animals. Allah says, فَمِنْهَا, فَمِنْهَا, and then from these animals, from these cattle, مِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ, there are some which they use as their means of transport. What does rakub mean? Rakub means means of transport. Right, what are we revising here? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously speak of some means of transport? The ships. The ship directly and indirectly, everything else. All other things like the ship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reviewing that section and that part. Previously I spoke about means of transport, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives us some further details, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us other forms or means of transport. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ. So they use the cattle and these animals as means of transport, and what else? وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ, and some of them they eat. يَأْكُل, يَأْكُل means to eat. So some of the cattle they eat. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعْ, and for them there are other benefits in them. It's not confined to these benefits. We don't only use the animals for as a means of transport and as a means of nourishing ourselves and for consumption purposes. Allah says, وَلَهُمْ, and for them, for insan, those people who own those animals, for them in the animals are manafi', other benefits. Other different benefits. We use the hide of the cattle. And we drink the milk of the cattle. And there are other multiple benefits that we can derive from one single animal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and there are many other manafi', wa masharib, and different drinks. Masharib, masharib means, and different drinks that they have. Afala yashkurun, do they not, are they not grateful? Do they not show shukr? What are we revising here? What are we revising? When Allah says, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, where did we find this expression previously mentioned? Look for it in section number 3. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ
لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ. Somebody was paying attention. I'm just kidding. I know everybody was. Okay. لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ. Ayah number 35. What does Allah say?
We have provided for them all the crops. And Allah spoke about what? Grapevines. Allah spoke of date palm trees. Allah says, why? لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِ, so that they may eat. There Allah was talking of foods that are consumed, solids. And at the end, what does Allah say? أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, do they not give thanks? Do they not give thanks? And here Allah speaking of what? Drinks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says what? أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, do they not give thanks? Which teaches us the importance of being grateful for the food and drink that Allah has provided us with. There Allah mentioned food stuff. Allah says, don't you give thanks for the food that we have provided. Here Allah mentions certain drinks. Again Allah subhanahu says, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, are they not appreciative? Do they not give thanks? We conclude tonight's lesson with the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَا. Despite all of this, Allah says, and they have adopted other gods than Allah. How unfair, how unjust is the human being that we have done all this for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then how does he react? Instead of showing appreciation and thanks, Allah says, وَاتَّخَذُوا, and they have adopted other gods, مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, other than Allah, لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ, so that they may be helped by them. They fear and they think they are going to be helped by these gods, other gods that they have taken. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ نَصْرَهُمْ, they cannot help them. وَهُمْ لَهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُحْضَرُونَ, rather, they themselves, the disbelievers, are like an army brought forth for protecting them. On the day of Qiyam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this elsewhere in the Quran. Those gods that they had worshipped, those idols and everything else that they had worshipped, they will also be muhdaroon. They will also be brought before Allah. So the worshipped and the worshipper, both will be standing before Allah. And there the items that were worshipped will seek refuge and protection and expect those who were worshipping them to protect them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, they are taking these gods as a means of protection, but on the day of Qiyamah, when they all will be present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those very gods will expect them to be protecting them, themselves, the gods. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.